Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Last week, we were reminded by St. Paul that the end is both here and on its way, yet always growing closer, right? The end is coming, and so we wait. In fact, if I had titled last week's sermon, that's what I would have titled it, right? We wait. That's what last week was all about. And so today, St. Paul tells us that not only do we wait, but we wait in hope. Like children on Christmas Eve, we wait hardly able to sleep for the excitement of what we know is coming. Now, that may not be how you normally think of the end of all things. If it is, good. But many people struggle with it, right? You may look towards the coming day of the Lord with a bit of anxiety rather than anticipation. And that's understandable. The scriptures at times employ rather frightening language to talk about that day. Even our Old Testament lesson this morning. The day is coming burning like an oven when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze. Well, that's pretty intense imagery, right? Strictly speaking, that's putting it fairly mildly for how some of these scripture passages treat the subject. And yet, that same passage immediately turns and says, "But for you who fear my name, for you who revere the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." That's pretty joyous imagery for you, the believer. You will rejoice in these things. Now, I've never seen a calf go leaping from the stall, so maybe that picture means more to some of you than it does to me. The only calves I've ever been around are between my kneecaps and my ankles. Bad joke, I know. But it sounds pretty joyous, right? Pretty fun. Then it goes on, though, "And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet." Now that's pairing, right? This joyous imagery and this frightening imagery, this intense imagery, together in this one picture. And this may also offend our somewhat softer sensibility. We might not like that particular pairing, right? As we know, of course, the Lord himself does not delight in the death of the wicked, but that he should turn from his way and live. How could we be rejoicing while the wicked are being destroyed? Well, yes, but there is a day coming when the calcified, unrepentant, those who have persistently, stubbornly refused to be turned from their way, will reach their destination, the end of that way. Things cannot go on forever as they have been. The story has to be brought to a conclusion. This is reality. And so we'd better adjust ourselves to it, and to the fact that on that day, we will rejoice. We will rejoice because God will bring about the new creation. We will rejoice because he will put all things right and even better than right. And so we wait in hope. Now, what is hope? What does it mean to wait in hope? Well, hope here does not mean wishful thinking. It does not mean merely thinking positively or optimistically. Basically, it does not mean what we pretty much always, every other time, use that word to mean. Hope here means the joyful expectation that comes from knowing for certain that something is on the way. This is unlike nearly all our other experiences of waiting on something in the future. In all other cases, even when you do know that something is on the way, that the Calvary is coming, as it were, there is at least the possibility that the thing may not come to pass, the thing hoped for might not happen. But not here. Here we know for certain it will come to pass. And where does this hope, this certainty come from? And from God's word, of course. God has said it. As sure as Christ was raised from the grave, he will surely come again. As we hear from him in our gospel lesson, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. God's word tells us that Christ will return. The day is coming, and we trust in this word. That same word, these same scriptures, also give us encouragement, as St. Paul tells us. They give us encouragement not only by telling us that he will come again, but by showing us God's faithfulness in the past, by showing us how time and time again he has always been faithful to his word. Because, as they also tell us, he cannot and will not lie. They also give us encouragement by giving us examples of the lives of the faithful, by showing us what lives of faith, even at their messiest, and some of them do get awful messy, look like. This likewise gives us encouragement because they also show us God's gracious patience with his sinner saints. As St. Paul says, even of himself in his letter to St. Timothy, this saying is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, or I am the worst. But I was shown mercy for this reason, he says, that in me, the worst sinner, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his unlimited patience as an example for those who are going to believe in him, resulting in eternal life. Paul basically says, God shows you through me that if he can be patient with me, he can be patient with anybody. If he can be gracious towards me, he can be gracious towards anyone. So they give us encouragement, these scriptures, helping us to endure so that we might have even greater hope. We wait in hope. The certainty, the certain knowledge of what is coming. We know what's on the way. And we rejoice in it. Christ will come again. Doesn't matter if it's been 2,000 years since he first stepped foot on the earth. Doesn't matter if it'll be 2,000 to 3,000 years more before he comes again. He is coming again, and that's all there is to it. God will fulfill his word. What a joyful thing that is. You need not be afraid if you believe. And the unbelievers aren't afraid anyway. Now, you may worry that you have somehow fallen between the cracks, somehow fallen between the territory of the believer and the unbeliever, that you know that the day is coming, but think that it might not be a joyous day for you. That perhaps you will end up as stubble and ashes. But as you have heard from St. Paul already once this morning, let me tell you again, Christ has welcomed you. And he continues to welcome you. He welcomes you not because you've been so righteous, but because he has for you. Like all of his other messy saints, you are righteous and holy because he has been sacrificed for you. He was raised as a guarantee for you, among other things, that this sacrifice has been applied to you by the Father. In your baptism, you were baptized into his death, as St. Paul said earlier in Romans. Christ has welcomed you. And so, welcome one another. Turn from the things temporal to the things eternal, as we mentioned last week, and wait in the sure and certain hope that he is coming again, and that this will be a joy for you. And in the meantime, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.